Jansen is here, Allison McCoy, Randy Smart, and Chase Phillips, are you on the call? Is there anybody on the phone that can hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Wes, solidified title.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I had it off mute. So Chase will be joining us by phone. In the room, we have Commissioner Kaiser, Randy Overstreet, Steve Gooch, Reed Stringham, Tracy Klossmeyer, and Adam Martin. Who do we have joining us on the phone besides Wes?
Okay.
Cal Robbins, Carrie Astro, Title, Peterson.
Hi, Cal.
Randy
Morris, Utah Title, St. George.
Can you say that one more time?
Randy Count, Southern Utah Title, St. George.
Thank you.
David Moore.
Hi, Dave.
Hello.
Is there anyone else on the phone?
Mark Weber, First American Cap.
Thank you to everybody that is joining us here in the room. We appreciate your support as well. Let's move on. If you can take a minute and look at the minutes, and then have a motion to adopt minutes from the September meeting.
While you're doing that, if I might just make a comment. So I wanted to just make a comment about how poised and you and Allison were at the legislative committee, which involved the rules discussion. It's not easy, excuse me, it's not easy to get up in front of, as a witness, in front of a legislative committee. And this one is known for its Barry's smiling. It's known to be one of the harder committees to be in front of to give testimony. And I just appreciated your depth of knowledge, your leadership, the poise with which you spoke to issues, how well you understood the issues. Just how poised and I don't want to use the word efficient or effective, but you were just you handled the situation extremely well under what I think are sometimes difficult situations, and I just wanted to make that compliment. I was just really proud of you and your testimony and presentation that you made. It was very clear and concise, and the questions that they wanted to know beforehand were all answered, and you gave them information that I thought was very meaningful. As a legislator, I would have appreciated the packet of information and how you presented it, and I just wanted to thank you for your presentation there.
Thank you. It was very nice to have Allison's support and not be up there by myself, so thank you very much. I appreciate that.
And thanks for not telling us they were one of the harder committees
yeah.
before we went up.
They always want a lot of justification. They say the statute is this way, and then they'll interpret it and say, why did you do a rule that disagrees with the law? And they get a little feisty sometimes.
Well, it was nice to know you were sitting behind us too, had your support, so thank you very much.
All right, I'll go ahead and make a motion to approve the minutes from our September 16th meeting.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion by Allison and second by Randy. I think they'll just trade off the rest of the meeting.
Dave, this is Steve Phelps. Can I just let you all know, I apologize for calling you late, but I am attending a meeting via the phone,
Chase.
Oh, it was Chase. Okay.
Okay, thank you. When we did the roll call earlier, we didn't hear from you. So Chase, do you, you can't? He can't approve the minutes.
Yeah, he can.
No, he can't.
Okay.
He can.
Do you approve the minutes?
I do, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
But I'm sorry, I heard it was a roll call. I've been waiting for the opportunity to announce that I was on the call again, so my apologies. I probably waited too long.
No worries, Chase. Glad you could join us. Okay, we will move on to reports by Reed.
The commission should have the licensing report in front of it. I reviewed it and didn't see anything remarkable. We've got Randy here. If you have any questions, and then we've got one penalty matter to be addressed by Adam after you make your decision on the licensing report.
You're ready if we can have a motion to concur?
So moved.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thanks, Chase.
Okay. On August 1, I conducted an audit of Invictus Title, and during the audit process, I found that they had never filed their minimum filed rates, and they had got licensed on June 15th of 2015, and so it went from June 15th of 2015 through August 30th of 2019 without having filed rates, and they conducted 531 closings. So under our audit review, the minimum or their maximum forfeiture we can do is 5,000, even though the forfeiture would have been a lot more than that. We just cut it to $5,000 forfeiture.
And your audit was, did you give a date of when you did your audit?
It was August 1.
Okay, thank you.
And will you clarify again that what makes it so that you can only do 5,000?
We have when we do an audit, there's because the forfeiture could be super high, like $100,000 if you go by the way the forfeiture is for all the penalties there are. There's a cutoff because it's an audit, and it gives them an opportunity to correct the actions and any other discrepancies that are found, and usually those can be educational also.
Okay, so if it hadn't have come by an audit, it could have been higher, is that okay?
It could have been a lot higher.
Got it.
Allison, we also want to give the company that's subject to audit and not create a disincentive to being cooperative and open and willing to discuss things.
Sure. No, I think that's great, and I appreciate that clarification too. So
does that mean if you're going through your list of companies that file each year and you find a company that doesn't file, rather than immediately dinging them, you go do an audit?
Actually, I did an inventory of all title agencies, and we found some discrepancies, and those are under review right now.
Okay, so your first step when you find that is to go audit?
No, just I would have to have a reason to go look.
Okay.
These ones that we found, it just so happened they came up on the audit, and
I see. Okay.
Didn't have the filed rates.
Okay, thank you.
All right, I'll make a motion to concur with the penalty.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Chase?
Aye.
Thank you.
Yeah, I agree.
And I will sign that afterwards. Okay, Perry, are there any board duties?
No, not today. I think we will next month.
Okay, that sounds great. To update on the 2019 goals, I think I'm on for both of these for this month. For the ULTA report, Steve, James was here last month, and so we thought he was going to the meeting. He didn't go.
Okay.
So I'm going to their meeting today, and I will report on both months to them. So I will report next month. For the Division of Real Estate, the Real Estate Commission meeting, they've held two meetings since our last meeting. There was one on September 18th, one on October 16th. So I will briefly report on both of those. Director Johnny Stewart in September said that as of January 2020, All realtors will now have to be fingerprinted with a background check when they have their license renewal. Chad was their analyst, and he left the division, and so he's no longer there. He's the guy that you saw all their billboards, and the guy that had the mask on, that was actually Chad. So he is no longer there. The UAR also wants them to amend the statute of limitations on a few of their statutes from 10 years down to 4 years. They were rattling off the statute numbers so quickly, I was not able to know exactly what they were, but it seemed like their commission did. And then last of all, they had 568 open investigations. At the October 16th meeting, Joy Natal is their new analyst, replacing Chad. She's been a prosecutor for 18 years and a realtor for 2. Again, the UAR has a request from Director Stewart that they remove the highlighted language in the Rep C that refers to deadline dates. That does not mean all deadline dates are going out, but they feel like there's a discrepancy, so they are reviewing the deadline dates on the Rep C, and they have 556 open investigations. They went down 12. From month to month, 11 of those are with the AG's office. And that's all I have to report on that. Let's move on to old business. I skipped. Tracy, if you want to talk to us about the submission of escrow rates, I apologize.
No worries. So this is probably a timely discussion after the $5,000 forfeiture we just assessed. I'd like to talk to you about escrow rates and how they're filed with the department, and I would like to convince you that we should maybe change the rule. So I'm going to give you a little background. Going back to 2007, all companies, title, escrow, property and casualty, life and health, have to file their rates, rules, and forms with the department. And in 2007, all of those requirements were done via a bulletin. So we converted the bulletins into rules because the rules had the power that we could enforce, where a bulletin is really just an advisory document. So in 2007, I worked with Mickey Braun and I worked with the Title Commission. And we created a rule that combined multiple rules. The rule that we did in 2007, it was how to file title rates, title rules, and title forms, escrow rates, and the annual report. We went through the whole process. I'm not sure what happened. We can't find the meeting minutes. Are not online. We don't have them. They may be in archives somewhere, so I was unable to read them to find out, to give you more detail about why things went the way they did. I can vaguely recall why we did some of the things we did. So we went through this whole rule process, and then in 2008, the Title Commission didn't want us to do that rule. They wanted us to create a rule that set the minimum rates so that there was no filing required. So we wrote that rule. It was close to being ready to go, and then it was voted down. So in 2009, I didn't work on the rules at all during 2009, so I'm not sure what happened in the meantime for that year. Again, we can't really, there aren't minutes to read. In 2010, though, it looks like it started back up, and I wrote the rule on how to file escrow rates only. And that became what we have now. It was approved in January of 2011. And so that's the R592-15. What I'd like to do now is kind of talk to you a little bit about the process of how escrow rates are filed with the department. And this is a very manual process, and it's very time consuming. So it starts with the industry. Industry either has to email the filing to us, and there's a form that they have to fill out and the spreadsheet. They can email it or they can SURF it to us. Most agencies don't use SURF because you have to, it's a, you have to pay to use SURF, and then you have to pay for each filing. And when an agency is making one filing ever, that's a burden. So, but we do get them from the insurers when they file escrow rates. We get them from them. So there's two ways to get them. They have to, once they've submitted the escrow filing, they have to submit the fee. It's a $25 fee to file. This is the only filing that we have a filing fee for anymore. All of the other filing fees for every other possible filing that we get is collected once a year during their annual renewal process. So when the department gets it, we usually get the filing via email, and then we have to track it to see if we get the fee. If we don't get the fee within 5 days, we reject the filing. This is usually where the hiccup starts, because title agencies don't really understand that they need to redo everything. And so I believe that's how some of these folks have gotten caught up in not having filed rates. So if we don't get the fee, we reject it, and then the process starts all over. If we get the filing fee, then my staff goes in. They have to enter, if it was an email filing, they have to enter it into SURF, because that's our tracking system. So she has to go in and create a SURF filing. Then she has to update our internal spreadsheet. She then has to give that to Steve so that Steve can update the website. So that's a pretty manual process, and my staff has to track it. So what I'm going to propose is that we go back to where you set the minimum fee. The gains that we would get, the title industry would no longer have to file. They'd no longer have to pay the fee. The gains that the department would get would be, we would no longer have to track these things. We wouldn't have to enter them into SURF. We wouldn't have to update spreadsheets. Steve wouldn't have to update the website anymore. So I would really, really like it if you would consider maybe going back to where it's a rule that sets the minimum fees instead of requiring the industry to file the minimum fees. I'm happy to answer any questions.
It would be so nice if we had the minutes.
Yes, it would. I vaguely recall... If you have them, I would love to review them. Okay. I recall going back and forth with the commission, and all of the instructions came from the commission originally. So write the rule that combined the three of them and get them into, and I believe that you guys were our 592 already by then, so we combined the rules. And then they came back and said, no, let's do the minimums. So we wrote that rule, and I have all of the rules.
I think we got... beat up by the real estate division when all was said and done. If I'm remembering correctly, with these minimum escrow rates, that's pretty much where we got shut down.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why would they have had
consumer-based concerns about, and then price-fixing concerns?
So this is just a minimum. Most of the rates that we get filed with us are usually not minimums. The only other industry that they can't go below 10%, and that's for the Bell industry, but they can't go above 20% either. So usually rates are filed with an entity that needs to file, they're filing what they need to collect in order to stay in business and make money. So these minimums, all this says is that a title agent can't go below it. That's all that it means. And that's how it is currently. Only they're all telling us, here's what we won't go below. Mm-hmm. But it seems to me that we could certainly come up with an average that, or even if you go to the very base. We have consumers call us and ask us why they're not getting the minimum escrow fee. So, and we refer them back to the title agent, because they don't have to, that's just the base. They don't have to offer that. So...
Right now, they're still finding minimums, what they won't go below.
But this would be an industry standard minimum that we would be setting.
Yeah.
And it would be set
by the Title Commission via rule. We would have to do a legislative change, because currently it says they will file minimums. So we could change, we would just remove that. The statute right now says that anybody doing escrow has to file the minimum rate.
Yeah, I was just going to ask if we wouldn't have to make a legislative change.
Yeah, so we would have to change it there, but we could be ready to respond with
a
rule.
And so would there be any filings then required?
No.
Do you know the discrepancy, or discrepancy is not a good word, but from the lowest to the highest right now?
So we have them on our website. They're not much. Most everybody's the same. I'm just going to pull it up really quick.
Nancy, can I make a comment?
Absolutely.
So, I think that I'm wondering if our minds didn't all kind of jump to some of what we heard. I vaguely remember some of this happening, and I remember it being somewhat of a, I almost want to say a bit of a shock to the industry, people that were not paying attention to title commission or were not participating in ULPA suddenly thought that this was, they're trying to have government-controlled rates, and so you had people that were concerned about that. You had real estate agents that were concerned about increasing costs for the clients, and I believe that you, Tracy, outlined a couple different times where this may have come up in the past, but the one that most recently comes to my mind is when the escrow rates were going to be tiered based on the amount of the sale of property and or insurance that's going to be purchased.
Yes.
If I understand what you're saying correctly, Lucy, you're not advocating any of that. You're just simply saying, let's just set a minimum filed escrow rate. The market can still react and do whatever it would like. Even if we set that minimum rate at $10, which obviously is unreasonable, we will set the minimum rate. The market will react to control what the market's going to do. It's not based on any type of insurance coverage. It is a standalone filed rate on its own. And that's what we're talking about here, right? That same basic idea that we maybe had to deal with a couple of, and I actually forget when the last time that tiered escrow rate was supposed to go into effect. I feel like that was...
You have a really good memory. It was...
I don't remember being back in 2007.
It was 2008.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay, it wasn't that long ago. So that is what we're talking about.
Yeah, that, and there was the tier, but what I'm proposing is that, I mean, really, you could take the minimum rate that's currently on file with us and put that in as the minimum rate. The only thing that the minimum rate is saying is that you can't charge less than that. You can charge,
right.
You can charge whatever you want. You just can't charge less than the amount that we would set in the rule, which seems to make sense. But I understand, again, I don't recall the exact specifics about why. I mean, I recall going through the entire process with that rule, and like the last meeting where they were going to vote, it was all of a sudden, nope, we don't want to do that. We want a filing rule. But I don't have anything in my records that indicate that I was involved in 2009 at all on any of the rules. And then again in 2010, that's when we drafted how to file escrow rates only.
Well, thank you for the clarification and all of that. It certainly makes sense to me. And I'm for making the process easier, ultimately, in the end, on everybody. I think the big problem that I recall why that suddenly became an issue is all of a sudden everybody realized that they had an opinion on it at the last minute, as tends to happen with certain rules, I think, over the years. I don't personally see any issue with setting a minimum, especially one that's a very near standard already. I would have a hard time if that's wanting to open back up and use this as an opportunity to increase the escrow rate. I think that the market ought to continue to control that. So I know that there would probably be people that will reach out to us or look to have the industry if we make that change, or begin to make that change. There will be people who will want that, and there will be people who are opposed to that. And I us on the commission probably would have, we probably all thought that immediately when you started to explain that. I think that's the last of my comments.
Thank you, Chase. I was just going to say, I think the other part of that discussion, previous discussion, had to do with the fact that escrow was supposed to be self-sustaining, so what type of a minimum rate constituted a self-sustaining rate? And so what do you recommend as far a minimum, how would we, what kind of research would we put into figuring out what a minimum self-sustaining rate would be?
What kind of research goes into the rates now? We get no justification for these rates. They just send a spreadsheet with some dollar amounts in it. So I don't really I don't know how these are calculated, how somebody decides what they're gonna charge. I don't know.
And Allison, is that the purpose of having a minimum?
That's supposed to be, yeah.
But the department tried a few years ago to do that. They tried to get agencies to come up with a valid answer and it didn't work.
It's hard to justify why you would charge a minimum. At least in my experience with rates, it's usually a lot easier to support why you're charging what you're charging, which is a justifiable rate. A minimum rate is very difficult to justify.
Well, I think what you also found was even you would think that it would be comparing oranges to oranges across the board with title agents, and what you found is it wasn't. Everyone kind of came up with their own scenario. Not everyone, but there was definitely more than just one.
Right, and they don't send any justification to us about why, how they pick their numbers. This is the way that they're required to file is just the number, where in other areas of our industry, justification for why you're charging what you're charging is absolutely necessary. We just don't know how they come up with the numbers, and it doesn't...
Which makes sense, but yeah. Then I get back to, well, then how do you determine the minimum?
Right.
I mean, it
I agree.
There's no basis for it.
Right.
So, Tracy, did you find out what the...
So, there, it looks like they're all over the place. They're just the first column of the report. It looks like the minimum is 75 and the max is 275. No, 375.
But minimums, do they... What's the range on just the minimum?
That is the range, from 85 to 375 on the minimum for that first column, which is conventional. So that's your range for the minimum.
There are people that filed 375 as a minimum?
As a matter of fact, yeah. It is, this is public record, so it's not like I'm saying, and it's BCHH of Utah has the 375, and then there are a lot of people that have 75.
So 75 seems to be the target, meaning what? Most people file?
It looks like just at a, I haven't done the, I didn't pull these out to do a sample to see, but it looks like 100 seems to be more the average, 100 to 120, just on that first column. So, but again, it's just the minimum that you can't go under, but when it's based on an agency not being able to charge less than the cost of doing business.
But doesn't the agency determine that?
They do. So.
So I'm just trying to figure out why we would set.
Well, and I would think if as a commission we were to set it, we would need to have some firm stuff or firm information behind it as far as you know, labor costs or things like that before we set an arbitrary minimum.
Yeah, that's.
Because I can tell you, again, the efficiency gains. One, agencies aren't going to get caught doing this anymore. Because Adam will be bringing more of these to you, because it wasn't just one. So, and that's, if it's an audit, it's a $5,000 cap, but if we found it outside of audit, it's not capped. And those are big. If you've gone a year and a half without filed rates, that's painful. So that's the other, I think that's probably more the selling point of possibly considering setting a minimum than, you know, and again, it's just a minimum. You can't go below it.
So it seems like what you're asking the commission at this time is the same thing that came up in 2008, 9, 10, and in mushrooms. I don't, I don't feel like we could set something today.
No. I wanted to put it on the record so that you could think about it, that everybody who's in the room and on the phone could consider it, and just to start talking about it. We couldn't do anything without a legislative change anyway. But again, I think this is just one of those areas that's just a little, it's such a little thing, but it causes us a lot of work to have to perform this task. And now that we have a couple of people that have been caught without them, that, I don't know, it just seems
And we would have your commitment as the insurance department if we did, to basically back us up in whatever rate we set. I'm meaning, if we had to change this legislatively, and if we run into the same experience where we have the realtors that get upset or whatever, you guys would be on our side as far as speaking to the importance of having the minimum.
Well, that I can't. I mean, I'm hoping that the commissioner has my back and says, yes, this is a good idea. You know, I mean, I would certainly, but that would be a question for the commissioner.
Thank you, Allison. That's a great point. And I think in this area, you know, from our perception, and my history doesn't go back to 2007 either, 2008, but there are some efficiencies that are gained by our department if we can make this change. And so we want to consider it. And so we're bringing it, you know, to you. It's your industry. But we would like some input from you to look at it and consider. If it makes sense, we'd like to trend this way. If it doesn't, then we realize maybe that what we're doing is best. But if there is reason to do this and you can support it and we can justify it, then we'd like to make this recommendation to see if it meets with the industry. If it doesn't, then we keep doing things the way we're doing them right now. But Tracy's observations are that there might be a better way for us to consider the way that we're tracking this information. We're just wanting to consider it.
I'll take it to the ULTA meeting today.
Okay, that would be great.
And we have a comment?
Yes, at my company, what we do to kind of gear what would be the minimum rate is we have a time log for every file, and we have to complete the time log based on the work performed, so that way we can measure where we're at as far as the minimum rate that we file versus, you know, others. So that's what we have done.
Carol, would you know off the top of your head what an average file is, since you are tracking it, or if you can?
The average, the lowest, the minimum?
Just the time an average file takes.
Oh.
I know. Since you're...
That's a hard one.
Yeah.
I mean, you get a cash transaction versus, you know, an all-inclusive or something. It totally varies.
Yeah.
But I would say probably with the way that my team tracks is we have a progress type report. So I would say probably anywhere between an hour and a half that we would spend on a file for the whole duration of begin to end. Mm-hmm. So
it might also be interesting to know if we could get some feedback on how often the minimum's charged. If it's just a basement and it doesn't mean anything, then maybe that would help you. Maybe it'd give us all some confidence that, you know, if we set a minimum, it wouldn't be harming anybody. Because that is clearly not my intent. I just am looking for a better way to do this because it is such a manual process. And now it's creating some forfeitures and, you know.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh. Thanks.
So, do I need to? No motion.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Tracy.
So where are we going from here?
I think we need to do research. I will take it to the ULTA. They would be the body that would probably be most interested in giving back feedback. Any other comments from anyone here?
Well, sorry. You know, for example, you know, the minimum rate we would probably charge like our builders, where it's a consistent lot 1, 2, 3, and everything exactly the same. So there isn't anything that needs to be done, and those type of transactions would not take hardly any time at all. So therefore, that would justify a minimum rate in our time log.
Thank you, Carol. Appreciate that. That is a good point, because I do think builders are the ones that get that. So we will put that on our agenda for next month. We'll move on to old business, increasing the statutory cap on recoverable costs for title enforcement. Reed?
This issue was discussed.
We can take this.
The commission talked about this at the department's suggestion at the last meeting. At that time, we proposed to increase the statutory cap, but we've since decided that it would be better just to eliminate that cap in the insurance code, because the legislature sets a different one every year in the budgeting act. And so it doesn't make sense to have to amend our statute every time the legislature changes the cap in the budgeting act. So we're proposing just to eliminate that out of the insurance code. I believe everyone received the memo I sent to you that explained that hopefully answered all your questions about how the title assessment funds are used. I think a copy of that memo was sent to everybody along with the agenda and all the other materials electronically. So I'm really here to make sure that everybody's questions were answered, and if not, we can be done with this, I think.
So it's a non-lapsing fund.
Right.
It just carries over.
It just carries over, yeah. Yeah.
If the next few years it stayed considerably under the 135, would you bring it back down, or did you just leave it at 135?
Well, it would be whatever the legislature says it is, but that's just an authorization to spend. It's not an allocation of money to us to spend.
I appreciate the work that went into figuring out, because I know we did have some questions and you did answer everything, and I think I can get behind the idea of not having the cap altogether if the legislature's already going to set it anyway. And I do appreciate the fact that we figured out that the money carries over and that it's not just going into a black hole somewhere.
Right, exactly. And so, you know, really, I'm glad you asked those questions, because it forced us to sit down and really figure this out, and now everybody knows how it operates.
Can I just ask one? When you say the legislature appropriate, do they actually appropriate funds, or do they just say you can use up to this amount for money you collect?
You can use this up to this amount. Okay. That's what an appropriation is, and that's something that was new to me too. It's not. Here's $135,000. Go ahead and spend it. Here's what you can spend.
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah.
So it's based upon what's collected, not they haven't appropriated the actual money.
Right.
If you both and Chase, did you hear that conversation? He has us on mute.
Yes, I sure did.
Thank you.
Sorry, I did have you on mute, but yes, I heard the conversation.
So would it be appropriate to, at this point, make a motion to approve the department's proposal to repeal the cap rather than raise it? You want to repeal the cap?
Yeah.
Do we need to do a motion to open the rule first and then a second motion, or does that all happen?
It's just all we're going to do is go in and just strike that language.
Okay.
In fact, it's part of our draft bill that we're working on right now for the next session.
Okay, so to be included as part of that.
Yeah.
So it does need to be a motion?
I don't know that it needs to be anything, but if you want it to,
I'd feel more comfortable
give your approval.
Say that we're concurring. Yeah, we're in favor of this.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's it. Okay, we'll make, I'll make a motion to concur with the department's recommendation to remove the cap for, let's see, we won't call it the statutory cap on recoverable costs for title insurance or enforcement.
Is it just the annual title assessment? Is that what we're, what is it we're eliminating, Reed?
The cap is on the enforcement program, the title licensee enforcement restricted account.
Specifically,
yeah.
Okay.
So the motion to concur would be a motion to concur with the department's decision to repeal the cap on the title on expenditures under the title licensee enforcement restricted account.
I'll amend my motion, so moved.
Okay. I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Reed, proposed amendments R59211.
Thank you. Over the last few meetings, we've had some discussions about making changes to this rule. Most of them were prompted by the fact that we don't have the controlled business statute anymore. I think I finally have a final version of that rule. I distributed it, and I wanted to make sure that you folks were okay with it before we sent it off to the rule enactment process, which will give the public a chance to comment on it as well.
And that was what you sent previously?
Yeah, that's yes. What, yeah.
Sir, are there any of you that had any issues with what was sent?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Good. Well, then we'll move ahead with that rulemaking process then. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. We probably don't have a vote on that since it's a rulemaking authority.
Okay.
So I'll make a motion that we accept the recommendations for the changes in the rule. I guess we should say the rule R592-11.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Thanks, Reed. Further up on the agenda, it does say the 2020 goals. I'm going to push that to November. I think we'll have a new person by then. I think that'd be great. The only thing I'd like to say is we'll probably continue with working with the Real Estate Commission and also the ULTA. And so I would hope that I could introduce a different member of our commission to Johnny Stewart and have that person be. Any other business?
I just wanted to, I'm sure that most of the industries were, but the remote notary statute is moving ahead. I don't know if statute's the right word. Language is moving ahead from the Lieutenant Governor's office. They have a committee that's been set up, and so they're really pushing to have that happen, which I think most of us are aware, but just make sure that you know that that's available and that they're working on it. And if you have any comments, the Lieutenant Governor's office is who's taking the lead on that.
Thank you, Allison.
I have a comment on that. Sorry. I've got one right now where the people are in New Zealand and they're selling a property in Central. And they went online, did whatever they did, to apply for a mobile notary for a warranty deed that I had already emailed them. And of course, they, based on the guidelines, they can't remember what state it was in. I want to say New Jersey, but I don't know. I can't remember. But anyway, it came back to me. It was notarized. It's a colored copy, but it's not anything to do with an original. And so I sent it down to my legal counsel to make sure everything was fine. And we couldn't, based on those guidelines in that state, we have to accept them. And I'm struggling with that because I don't have this original document in my possession.
Yeah, I suspect we're gonna have, it's gonna be a huge learning curve for us, county recorders, for the whole group.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's gonna definitely be a change in the industry for sure. So.
Well, I mean, Simple File, aren't they gonna have to change their requirements?
Yeah.
Thank you, Carol. Appreciate that. I don't have any hot topics. Then we will adjourn until our next meeting, which will be our quarterly meeting on November 18th. It will still be in this room. Correct. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll vote to adjourn.
Sure. Okay.